Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Our riders now have 3 full days and nights of riding in their legs, so they'll be looking for a smooth day in the saddle, going into day 4. The Accursed Mountains have other ideas, with reports of rain and snowfall overnight in multiple places along the route. Tom Probert is our race reporter in Control Car 1.
We've woken up in the small town of Brod, which is basically the most northern point on the route, and it's about 620 kilometres in now. And after 3 days of pretty much uninterrupted sunshine, we woke up to the pitter-patter of raindrops outside. It's slate-grey skies, and the clouds are hugging the hilltops. They're shrouded in cloud, and I got a knock on the door about 30 seconds after I woke up, telling me that there's riders inbound and headed for the petrol station that we're staying next to. So I've headed out. I'm walking over the bridge now. I'll see if I can find Spike. Spike Morris is coming in, and yeah, I'm just walking over this bridge now, and there's these turquoise waters flowing underneath. Even though it's a completely grey day, it's crystal clear water. It looks extremely fresh, kind of big mountain river flowing beneath me here, bringing down all that water that's falling in the mountains around us.
Tom just misses Spike, but does speak to Jose Quintero, Cap 24, who isn't so bothered by the change in weather, more by an intrusion from life away from the bike.
So we've just found Jose. He's just dived into a gas station to shelter from the rain and get some, some hot coffee this morning. He's very slowly just removing his bag and his jacket. He looks like a guy that's just woken up and started cycling in the rain. Any challenges or problems so far?
Yeah, I have to actually cut it off quickly, earlier than I expect.
Yeah.
I have to go back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah, stupid. I checked my phone a couple of days ago, and then my boss is urging me to come back on Monday, so I don't think I will finish.
Is that, you've just found out about that?
No, I knew it was going to happen. Yeah. I mean, I had a feeling. I said, well, it's cool. I still can come and start the race and see how far I can go. But it's cool, man. I saw the Balkans, nice land, nice area.
So what's your plan now? Are you going to ride back to Škoda?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know yet. I have time to think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get to the next stage, whatever. Maybe make it to Berena, probably. Berena, it's called. And from there, we'll see.
At the front of the race, cap number 2, Justina Slaveka, is now well past control point 1 in Berana and has a more than healthy lead. Behind him, Pierre Bischoff, cap 32, has also managed to develop a gap back to third position, after Christoph Dijkman, cap 14, had something of an alarm issue.
I was supposed to leave at 2 or 3 max, and it's 7 something.
Does that failure have anything to do with the fact that it's 6 degrees and rainy outside?
No, it's just because I'm not able to wake up. But it was raining in the whole night. Okay, so perhaps it's better to be inside. 9 hours sleep is nice, no? It's like more than what I sleep at home, so...
Is that the first time this has happened to you in a race?
No, it's something traditional for me. But I was expecting to avoid it this time. It's only 250k, so it's okay.
Further back in the field, Tom is beginning to get a picture of the conditions our riders have faced overnight.
I'm just looking up around me at the hillsides here that that surround us, where we've been staying, and there is a dusting of snow on kind of the top third, just above where the clouds are kind of falling there. There's like a kind of little weather station that's just being slightly obscured by the clouds, and then below that there's like a kind of icing sugar dusting of snow on some very dense forest, which looks beautiful, but that's where some of our riders have been attempting to ride through and sleep last night.
Tom finds Alistair Clifford, cap number 9.
It's 7:30 in the morning, and I've just spotted Alistair coming past. He's going to pull into the gas station. That's exactly what I was hoping for. Good morning. Hi. You have the face of someone that's not necessarily enjoying themselves right now.
I think it was about -3 overnight. It was snowing at the top.
Is that where you slept?
Yeah, I thought I was far enough down, but it turns out I was not far enough down. And I have every item of clothing I own on. But I've got like 2 pairs of bib shorts on.
Alistair looks like the Michelin man.
It's so cold. Oh my God.
So were you sleeping outside?
Yeah.
And what's your setup?
Bivvy, sleeping bag, but it's probably only good for 5, and it was snowing, so it was cold. So
not much sleep?
I think I've probably got about 30 minutes of shivering.
We've got some good old British weather now, haven't we?
Oh, it's brutal. At least it's rained down here, and just a little bit. I can feel myself slowly warming up. I can feel my hands.
Was it snow then up at where you were sleeping?
Yeah. It was like everything was dusted. Ridiculous. And I couldn't see coming down the hill because the snow was going in my eyes. Yeah, like, I'll put my glasses on. No, I won't. That'll make it even worse.
Was there a part of you that was like, yeah, this is kind of what I came for. This is the adventure.
I didn't come for snow.
Tom also speaks to Urs Manhart, cap 36, who is warming up next to an electric heater.
When I came in, they realized I'm a bit cold, so they had one plug that was running the refrigerator, and then they took out the cables and put in the plug of the oven that was eating my palachinka in front of the oven. Of course, the door stays open because that's traditionally the way it is, but yeah, you can see the orange.
So it's like a heater. They unplugged the fridge for you and put the heater on.
Yeah, so I've been treated like family here. That's nice.
I've heard a lot of stories like this from other riders, actually, about these acts of kindness from the locals. Is that something you've noticed along the way? That's a really good example.
Yeah, that's a really good example here, that even though we cannot really exchange one word, they naturally treat me very well and very helpful. So
it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think there's something about being on a bike as well that makes you seem sort of like a bit vulnerable, and people kind of take care of you more. Do you find that?
I'm not sure. People don't think they are used to bicycles here, yeah. So they somehow treat you like you've come from the moon. And maybe if there's people on the moon, you should treat them gently. So.
Race director Hannah Lobelestier has also been speaking to riders as they come down from the mountains with more reports of challenging conditions. Francois Briere, cap 18.
This morning, we went through a snowstorm at the top.
How much snow was there?
I don't know, but just like on the top, maybe that amount of snow.
And like a foot of snow?
Yeah. I can show you the pictures down. Yeah. But at the top, just I was freezing, just freezing.
And how are you finding the race so far? How's the rest of it been going
perfect.
For you?
Perfect, yeah. Amazing landscape. Really hard, but just like since this morning, just it was amazing. And now just like, actually this morning I hesitated to scratch. Yeah, because I was completely wet. So, but I'm going to keep going.
Great, good to hear it. Yeah. There's always lows. There's always highs.
Yeah, and this morning was low.
Yeah.
But now with the sun, it's way better.
Cool. Good to hear it. What's been your highlight so far?
I think the beginning of Bosnia. So all the colors are really shining. And on the on the old train trail, I would say. That was amazing. And until yesterday was just amazing. Just all the landscape, just wow.
Sam and I have headed up towards Sutjeska National Park this morning, and we've left Tom down at the resupply point in Miljevina, where riders are finding the first bakeries and cafes they've seen in quite a long time. It's been really quite miserable conditions this morning, freezing cold, rain coming down. And it's finally starting to clear up a bit. We can see some sun, and the clouds have cleared, and we can see snow high up on the mountains here. And it sounds like, from speaking to Francois just now, that he was having to push through the snow over the top of Sutjeska because there was quite a heavy amount of it. And it seems like there will be snow over the stretch of upland plateau after Savnik, and then in Biogradska Gora, and then again on that stretch after Barana, after CP1. So really tough conditions for riders at the moment, and we're just having to keep an eye on conditions and decide whether to make any route changes for the next riders to come through.
Andrew Phillips, race reporter in Control Car 2.
So I'm at CP1 in Barana, and having been waiting all morning for Christian Dupraz to arrive, he has come through in the 2 minutes when I was brushing my teeth. So I'm going to talk to our photographer at the CP, Tom Gibbs, who got out into town to take a few photos from resupplying. Tom, how did Christian seem when you caught up with him?
He was pretty chilly. He told me, when I found him in the restaurant, he actually told me that he brushed off a load of snow from his bike as he got to the restaurant. So I think he found it pretty challenging coming over the pass.
And presumably he now knows that he's heading out into more snow as well. So we've learned that the conditions further on up the road towards the Kosovan border, so the section between Barana and Rosaja, is under heavy snow. I will just talk to CP volunteer Kim, my mum. How did he react when you told him the upcoming off-road sector was under snow?
He was not surprised, because he'd already been through snow. I told him there was actually quite a lot of snow coming up. And he seemed resigned, I think.
Resigned, yeah. So he knows what he's getting himself into. Okay, thanks.
Of course, it's not especially unusual for ultra racers in mountainous regions to see snow affect progress. It takes no small amount of steel and courage to keep going, even when riders know the conditions can improve quickly. So why do they do it? Oliver Neumann, Cap 31.
Sometimes I think you're sadists and we are masochists.
Yeah, have you ever worked out why you do these races?
There must be anything in my history.
So, can you just explain what happened there? You went into the restaurant, desperate for some food.
Problem is, I don't have money with me, and they don't accept card. So I have to continue my journey.
Yeah.
Normally I should be better prepared, but it's my own fault.
But you've done this route before, and yeah, you found, you remember somewhere else you can go, right?
Yeah, I remember where I can go.
Yeah.
There's the next village is called Broad, and I think I will get there something to eat, something to drink, a coffee.
You're using your knowledge from last time you did it.
Yeah, yeah. I used my knowledge from the last time.
Tom is now waiting for Frida Baku, Cap 19, who is likely looking to resupply.
Once again, I'm on a little solo mission here. I'm in the tiny little settlement of Miljevina, and I've just spent the last hour in a tiny little cafe on the end of a strip of maybe 8 shops, including bakeries and convenience stores. I'm expecting him to stop because all of our riders that have got up this morning and they've just come through Suyesca are coming down here in a very cold and tired state, and a lot of them have run out of supplies. So this is a great place. It's like a beacon to stop and resupply. Okay, so an update to the plan. Frida unexpectedly stopped at a restaurant about 15-minute walk from Miljevina. So I'm just quickly trekking up there to see if I can find him. He's probably chosen the smart option there, actually, because he wouldn't have been able to have a proper hot meal anywhere along that row of shops. So for a proper reset and to take on a lot of good sustenance to set him up for the day ahead, that's a good shout. And I've just found him outside the restaurant, so I'm just going to jog over before he sets off. Here he is. Hello, I found you. You are absolutely covered in mud, including your face.
That might be the case.
What's happened out there?
Well, it was rather cold yesterday evening, and then the weather came in, so I decided to stay down at around 800 meters of altitude.
Yeah, good choice.
I slept under a roof somewhere, and then I started this morning. But it was getting colder and colder, and it was around above 1,000 meters, it was snowing.
Yeah.
And at the top, it was snowing heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it was cold. It was -2, -3 degrees.
Wow.
And so coming down also took an eternity because it was so much water, and the roads were bad. So you had to push all the time. It was like riding in the desert, because the wheels were going into the mud.
Wow. And your bike is absolutely plastered in mud here. You can barely even see what color it is now.
Right, and me too.
And how have you responded to that? Are you kind of enjoying that challenge, or is that making it difficult to continue?
There were times when I thought, what an idiot I am. But most of it was fine. And the snow in the mountains, that was nice. It was a nice adventure today.
It makes you feel like you're at high altitude when you can see snow, right?
Yeah, right.
The riders of the Accursed are not the only people out on two wheels in the Balkans. Hannah stops for a chat with a pair of bike tourists.
And what's your take on the Balkans so far? Is this your first time here?
It's pretty epic, you know, big climbs and looking down. It's very dramatic. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And we came through a little bit of snow where we came this morning, so that was a little bit of a cold.
I think it's wet today.
Yeah.
And the fantastic people of Bosnia.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been very kind. Yeah. And yeah, just the hospitality has been great. Yeah.
Do you do a lot of bikepacking together?
No, we've done a few kayaking trips.
We haven't done any bikepacking at all.
We just sort of, I don't know, I've done a bit, but Jenny hasn't, but that's okay. Yeah, we do all those outdoor sports, you know, skiing and kayaking, and I've done a lot of, not necessarily just biking around New Zealand, not other countries. Well, actually, I have been through France and Spain and Italy in the last few years. Mm. Yeah, so yeah, no, we're out there doing it.
I love seeing a pair of women going bikepacking together. Yeah. I think there's something really great about that.
Yeah, we couldn't get the old fella to come, so.
One rider who really got caught in the overnight snow is Andy Dodd, cap number 6. After waking up with both a frozen bike and a frozen beard, he's managed to make it to control point 1 in Birana.
So cold, the descent this morning. I can't remember where and exactly who it was. But between the two big, two parks on stage 4.
Coming down off the Dermator Highlands.
Yes, yeah, just so cold. And only having waterproof trousers are great for blocking out most of the wind, but when it like buffets a bit, then just saps, and when the water's on there as well, had a lot of rain or just a drizzle like last night, and yeah, just very, very, very persistent. And then late last night it turned into snow. Lots of snow.
Can you describe the scene up on top?
Yeah, like sort of a winter wonderland, but not the dreamy winter wonderland that you imagine. It was quite wild, especially just as you're topping out in
Biogradska Gora.
Yeah, Gora, sorry, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, topping out of that, it was really, really wild. Yeah, I'm going to have a little sit down and work out what my plan is, I think.
Those hands look a bit pickled.
Yeah, they've been in wet gloves for, well, since about 4:40 this morning. Yeah, they're a little pickled. I'm sure they'll dry out, pruned.
While I've been here waiting for riders this afternoon, I've noticed quite a lot of flags hanging up in the area around Miljevina, and it's worth noting and understanding a little bit about the quite unique politics of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Although it's one country, it's actually split into two semi-autonomous entities which govern their own regions in their own way, pretty much, and they align on a kind of international level. But each one of these entities, they're kind of ethnically divided. So the Federation is made up of Muslim Bosniaks and Croats who are Catholic, and then the Republika Srpska is a majority of Serbian Orthodox Christians. And this all happened, and the country was divided up into these two entities as a result of the war that was between 1992 and 1995, and it was kind of artificially split up as part of the Dayton peace talks. And our riders will go through both of these regions. So there's a tiny little sliver of the Federation territory, which extends right down into the southeastern corner of the country. So when our riders have gone through Čapljina, that's in the Bosniak Croat Federation territory, but mostly they're going to be in the Republika Srpska region, and riders will definitely notice the kind of cultural differences as they go through the towns and cities of that region, the populated areas. You see quite a lot of graffiti that allude to various different dates and kind of ties to different countries, and then also of course things like flags displaying the allegiance of that particular region. So that kind of explains why we're seeing these flags hanging up everywhere, because the Republika Srpska regions are very much Russian leaning. They're allied to Russia and Serbia, of course, and you know, they're opposed to any kind of NATO membership and very sceptical of any EU interference. And the Federation is basically the opposite of that. So very pro-Western, want Bosnia to be unified, and they want EU and NATO integration. So they're allied with Europe and the US.
Annie Dunlap and Hannah Vett, caps 37A and B, have been in good spirits for most of the race. But with the weather turning, they've made the difficult decision to scratch and head back to Škoda by taxi.
I think it ultimately came down to like us analyzing how we were doing mentally. And I think we did really well as a pair together. We prepared for this race better than I've ever prepared for anything. And I think we're both really proud of that effort.
Yeah.
And the journey to get here was really exciting and rewarding in that way. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to like, okay, so we could go till day five and time out, and like maybe all like going against all signs of physical, like previous physical effort, we might have made it. Like I'm not someone to say like, oh, like, you know, like let's just give up now. But, and it wasn't that case. It was like, where are we in this moment? How are we feeling? Yeah. And is the goal of finishing the race bigger than like the goal of us actually just like enjoying ourselves? And not to say everything needs to be fun, because we had this conversation many times. It's like, so are ultras still worth it when they're not fun? Because this is something you're freely putting your time, resources, effort, money, everything into. And
our paid time off.
No, but then there are so few times, like, and we're so fortunate that things are really hard. And it's like, when are you choosing to push through those things, mm-hmm. and to what extent?
Right.
It's such a cool game to play with yourself if you're doing this for fun and seeing like where you want to get to mentally for a race like this. And for me, 3 days out there, I've learned more about myself in 3 days than I have doing something for like 2 weeks, like in a different way. And that was enough for me to look at the situation and be like, I'm okay with stopping, because I truly think this is a great experience.
Yeah.
And this is where my body is stopping today.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, not every goal has to end with like a complete check mark or
for
a complete red card.
Absolutely.
So
I definitely don't pick you guys for people who just give up when it gets hard. So I totally respect the decision.
With the Accursed being a fixed route race, it's easy for dot watchers to spot when a rider goes off course or may be having some sort of issue. Earlier, the dot of Daniel Perotti, cap 15, started going in entirely the wrong direction while he was up high in the snow.
It was pretty extreme. So I went with the glove probably on pause navigation when the GPS was crazy. I had to do that a couple of times. And instead of on pause, I probably went on reroute. And it gave me a completely different route. I saw the turn where this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just made and you know, I was following the route all the time.
Yeah.
And actually,
yeah.
I was always looking at the
elevation profile.
Elevation profile. And it was the fucking same. It was the same as, you know, like I couldn't figure until I got into a village connected, and I also couldn't connect to the phone because it was just nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. Connected to the phone, and family and friends, everyone is like, what the fuck are you doing there? And you guys reached out as well, so, yeah.
How did it feel to be back at the same point 7 hours later?
I mean, you know, I was cursing. I was freaking out.
Because you seem very sanguine about it now.
Yeah, but a lot of time has passed since. So, you know, everything, all the whole process. But, you know, I think it's the reason we do these things, no? It's like you have... Obviously, you have more extreme lows, but then you also get to experience completely different things. And I think, frankly, I'm not a neurologist or something, but I think that's what's needed to really... Sometimes it needs to be tough so that you can appreciate. So that's what I tried to tell me the last hours.
Further back, Hannah speaks to one of our returning riders, Andrew Hatton, cap number 4.
For the sake of the listeners, do you want to say what happened last year?
Yeah, interesting. So last year, I'm feeling the kind of the vibe of the Accursed. So last year, I broke my derailleur hanger twice. So I ran out of derailleur hangers, basically, which kind of ended my race. But I'm actually ahead of myself last year, just because last year, basically I rode overnight to Savnik. So I need to consider whether that's something I'm going to do.
Well, look after yourself.
Or not, but,
yeah.
You know, or get a good night's sleep and then basically set off early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, there's snow up high, so just be prepared for more cold conditions.
But that's a really good point. I think definitely this feels to me harder, like with the mud and the cold.
Yeah.
Just takes more out of you. Yeah. I think it's, and then the handling of the bike's obviously a little bit trickier, but.
Obviously, we had a few storms last year, but I think this is much tougher. It's a lot colder. There's a fair bit more snow.
Yeah. On the upside, the scenery today was extraordinary. You're going to see some, not for me necessarily, but others who I saw, stopping very briefly to take some photos. The scenery up there was just breathtaking
because of the snow
yeah. And the mountains, yeah, and the snow where we were, light dusting of the pass, and that was beautiful to see. We were kind of just shout as we were passing each other, like, wow, this is so beautiful, which is important, like, in the kind of throes of all the madness, to remind yourself of that.
When the going gets tough, like it has all day for our riders, it can be useful to carry some sort of memento from home for extra motivation. James van der Horn, Cap 22.
Talk to me about your water bottle. Here you've got all sorts of photos on there.
Bought as a little unexpected surprise gift from my wife with a picture of her and our six-month baby girl.
Oh, beautiful.
Four pictures around the top of it and one of our wedding day. So whenever I'm losing motivation, on a little bit of a high, I look down and see some wedding pics and baby pics.
That's great. Do you keep rotating it round? Depending on which one you want to look at.
I guess so. Yeah, I sort of glance down and there it is, and it's really cool.
You should add one photo of like a burek on there, so you can rotate it around.
Get motivated by food. Yeah.
Where's my next burek? I'm so angry. No, that's a really nice touch.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So many riders have had a difficult day of weather to contend with. In many ways, it makes the performance of our race leader, Justinus Leveke, even more remarkable. Justinus is a serial winner in the ultra world, but it is truly no mean feat to take on the accursed with this level of skill and confidence. Race reporter Andrew Phillips.
We're just in the car, leaving Barana and CP1 behind. We're heading up the road to Rosaia. Off to our right in the woods, the riders are up high going through some really, really snowy landscapes. It's settling really deep out there. I've seen videos from Pierre and Christophe that make it look incredibly tough, incredibly slow going. It's taking about 7 hours to do about 50 kilometres. And then the problem we have as a control car is that we're trying to cover the whole front of the race from Justinas, who is all the way up in Albania, approaching the Lura National Park, back to sort of 5th, 6th place, Daniel Perotti in Biogradska Gora. And we're talking about several hundred kilometres across really rough landscapes that are tough and slow for riders, also tough and slow to drive. So Justinas has just absolutely decimated this field. Really a phenomenal performance. We all knew that he was capable of it, and he's really shown it once again. We've got some incredibly strong riders in this top five. Christoph Dijkman has won races, and the others are all really strong riders. But Justinas going off the front in the manner he has really just shown us that when he goes and sets his mind to it on a race like this, he's in a league of his own. Hello, so we've just found Christian down in Rosaia with a very shiny looking bike. Can you tell us what's going on, Christian?
Oh, I just washed it a bit. There was some mud on the way.
Just some mud, nothing else to report?
And a little bit of snow.
A little bit of snow.
Yeah.
All right, could you try and describe with sort of details of snow depth what it looked like up there?
So on Biogradskaya, I think up to Yeah, 20 centimeter.
And how about up here in the on the Catherine Road?
About the same.
Okay, 20 centimeters of snow.
But that's sufficient that you might sometimes have to push the bike.
And what's your plan for this evening? Are you going to push on?
Cycle into the sunset, yeah.
And have you found it too cold at all today, or have you been keeping warm?
Yeah, it's mainly cold when you are descending. Otherwise, it was fine. I had a poncho, which was good.
Oh, yeah, we saw a photo of you in the poncho, looking quite resplendent.
Yeah, it's practical. It's like a little tent.
Do you know, I assume you haven't done the watt calculations of how much power that's taking in aerodynamic terms.
No.
As evening approaches on day 4, it's been a difficult 24 hours for most of the field. Before calling it a night himself, Tom just catches Joss Ridley, cap 25.
How did you find it coming over the mountain pass this morning?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I started at 5 this morning, and we were, I think Mark, you and I were going up the hill, and this truck driver stopped and said, there's snow up there. And yeah. We were like, okay, cool. What are we going to do? So carrying on, and it was blowing a hoolie up there. Headwind, snow. It was pretty cold. Unfortunately, we sort of descended into like a place where there was a small little cabin, guy doing coffee and a fire, which was cool. And then, I mean, it's lovely. It's been really pretty. I mean, the top of that bit just now is just absolutely stunning, especially the snow. Yeah, it was just lovely today, and I'm trying to appreciate the countryside we're going through. So it's, yeah, it's good. And it was actually a really cool descent just now as well. A bit muddy, as you can see.
So control car 2 here. We've just passed through the Montenegrin border post. We're in the sort of 5 kilometer no man's land between the Kosovan border and the Montenegrin border. And it is snowy up here. We're at about 1500 meters and there's at least 20 centimeters of snow on the ground. And that's really been the story of the day today. Riders have found it hard with snow, heavy rain, sleet. It's been hard to stay warm. There's been a lot of hiker bike with lack of grip on the trails, and we've been finding riders sheltering in cafes and warming up in hotels and staying a bit more time and really taking long periods of time to do quite short stretches. There's one particular stretch just after Barana, between Barana and Rosaya, which is about 50 kilometers and is currently taking riders 7 or 8 hours. So really tough day today, but tomorrow the weather forecast is looking up. The weather's warming, the snow's going to start melting, and hopefully the riders will have an easier time of it.
Join us in our next episode on day 5 of the second edition of the Accursed Race. We'll see whether Justinus can maintain or even build on his already large lead, and we'll also find out whether the rain and snow has put a long-term dampener on our riders' spirits, or if they can quickly switch out of survival mode and start making good progress again. You can read our daily race reports from the road on our website and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.